In today's episode, Mike beats JJ to the punch, Samantha talks about Mannequin, and then gets abducted. And I tell everyone why Jack Burton is the hero we all need. This is Big Trouble in Little China.
I explored every single floor just to see what they've done, but it was so depressing in there because that was like the hotel where Hank Williams died or he last stayed. And it just looks like every bland 80s office you've ever seen. It's so gross in there.
You know what's gross is I don't know if you guys have ever seen this, but if you've ever been to San Francisco,
several times, more times than anyone,
underneath the city is a whole like crazy world. Like it's something like out of like a Chinese myth or something. I don't know. Hi, welcome to Funsphere Movie Club. I'm Josh.
I'm Pork Chop Express.
I'm reincarnated Egyptian goddess Kim Cattrall from Mannequin.
And I'm the real Raiden.
I was wondering how long it was going to take for somebody to mention Raiden.
Well, I wanted to do Pork Chop Express. I buckled, actually. I was like, I had it written down. I was like, I'm going to go with Pork Chop Express.
And today we are talking about Big Trouble in Little China, also known as John Carpenter's Big Trouble in Little China some reason. Which is a 1986 American fantasy action comedy film directed by John Carpenter, making his, is this the second or third film by Mr. Carpenter we've talked about on Film Club? We've talked about The Thing.
We did The Thing.
Oh, I know what it is. We talked about Escape from L.A.
Snake.
When we talked about Metal Gear. So that's
okay. But we didn't actually do.
And this film stars Kurt Russell, Kim Cattrall, Dennis Dunn, and James Hong. The film tells the story of a truck driver, Jack Burton, who helps his friend Wang Chi rescue Wang's green-eyed fiance from bandits in San Francisco's Chinatown.
Because green-eyed ladies are rare.
Especially, yes, green-eyed Asian ladies apparently are super, super rare. Okay, so this was my pick for Funsphere Movie Club. I'm surprised it actually took us this long to get to it, now that I think about it. So I'm going to say...
I will say that Angela watched this with me, and she was like, was this a JJ pick?
I couldn't remember who picked it. I also thought
it was me. It was me.
She's like, you guys and your ninjas.
Well, that's what like, Josh means in Japanese, ninja.
That's right, yes. a lot of people know that. So I'm going to... So I think we've kind of ruined it. Me and JJ have definitely seen this movie. Mike and Samantha, had either of you seen this movie before?
No, but when I went to watch it, it was... on my prime, like I had to start it over. So somebody had been watching it on my prime. I don't know who.
Okay. So why don't the newbies give us their takes? Who wants to go first?
Mike can go first.
Okay. Was one of those movies that I just sat through the whole thing thinking, how did this get made? And that one guy I instantly recognized, as I always do him, from his role in Seinfeld at the Chinese restaurant.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
James Hong.
The Seinfeld party of four.
I recognize him from Mulan and Kung Fu Panda and everything else he's in.
Correct. Correct. That would be...
I don't know why. I guess Seinfeld was the first thing that I saw him in, so it always goes back to that.
Yes, you're referring to Mr. James Hong. He is a famous actor. He has over 400 productions in the U.S. Dang. Media since the 1950s. He's very old. He's also a pretty prolific voice actor and stuff like that, too. Okay. All right. So did you like the film, Mike?
Yeah, that was okay. Fun. I guess What's-His-Name just has a good friendship with John Carpenter because he seems to be in all of
Kurt Russell?
Movies.
Yes, they are very good friends.
The Chin Russell.
His acting in this was very over the top.
No, it wasn't.
I'm sure it was intentional.
I couldn't tell if it was if it was intentional or if it was just the way it was.
No, it was totally intentional, and just a little bit of a spoiler. He's basically kind of mimicking John Wayne from the old West.
Especially
the way he talks in this film.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was.
You guys were right about the soundtrack. It was good.
It's a banger. It's so good. It's so good.
Okay.
But yeah, it was just a batshit crazy movie.
I've got some behind the scenes stuff that'll make it seem tame by comparison, but we'll get to that later. Some interesting stuff. Okay, Samantha, what did you think of the film?
It was good. I remember I was just like super confused. Because it felt like there was, I don't know, it felt like there was a lot of build up and both no build up, and then the last like fight felt like it was 150 years long, and then but one thing I did really like, and it's gonna sound so weird, but I really liked that Lopan was like, awesome, I got two girls with green eyes. I'm going to sacrifice the white one and keep the other one. I was really happy that they were going to sacrifice Kim Cattrall because I'm so used to, like, especially in older ones, like, the white woman being so special, you know? And I was like, okay. Oh, this was unexpected.
Okay.
It's a weird thing to like, latch on to, but I was like, oh, that's nice. Yeah. And I really like, I'm a sucker also always for, like, a good, I kind of miss because... You'll see the spoilers in Return to Oz as well, but the really mm-hmm. opulent physical sets of 80s movies.
Yeah.
Like Lopan's fortress or whatever, like mm-hmm. the first room that they're in with like all the statues lying, and it's just very large, opulent. It's all physical. And
yeah.
I also like the underwater, like the skeletons with the crabs on them. Like I like stuff mm-hmm. like that. The sets were really cool. And the whole time I was like, man, I've been to Chinatown in San Francisco so many times. I didn't know any of this was going on.
It's all true. Okay.
Yeah, it was. But I was also confused by it. And there was a part where, like, when he was at the brothel or the White Tiger or whatever, I was like, have I seen this? But then I realized it just was really similar to a part in the new Perry Mason. Where they go to some kind of brothel or whatever to like get information, a Chinese and it was I think it was a Chinese owned one, so it was just so similar, like the way it was set up. Maybe it was on purpose, an homage to this. I don't know, but it really had me thinking: have I seen this? I haven't.
Yeah. Very nice. Okay. The detective. All right, JJ, tell me your thoughts on this film and how familiar are you with it?
So I grew up watching this movie, loved it. And, you know, and you will probably tell us more about it as well. But I used to love The Golden Child as well. And, you know, so, you know, this movie was rushed to beat The Golden Child.
That is correct.
But with that, this is the one I always watched. I don't know why I watched this more than Eddie Murphy's version of it.
Mm-hmm.
But watching it now, it felt like a reverse video game. You know, you've got your surface, you know, like Streets of Rage, you're going up to the top to fight the villain. But this one, they're just going deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah.
And you can fight a different villain. I love Jack Burton, and it seems like everything we do has something Burton related, from Tim Burton, Jack Burton. It's
Tim Burton wishes he was Jack Burton.
Yeah. And, you know, and Mike and I have a friend who's now currently selling oil. He works for the Pilot Company, and he's giving me all the names of some of the companies that he's selling oil to, and they all seem like they love Jack
Halliburton.
They all love Jack Burton, you know, like it's like I would tell you some of these names offline, but they're just so crazy. And I'm like, oh man, this guy's so awesome. Like, I loved his boots when I was a kid. We looked them up. Nope, not gonna wear those.
Yeah,
his shirt's awesome, and he wasn't even the strongest character. He's just dumb, but he just got through. And but I loved it. I loved every minute of it. So
okay,
yeah, gotcha. It was good. Good.
Yep. Was this one that you did you see this originally in theaters by any chance?
No, I didn't see it in the theaters. This was something that was probably early. I don't remember if it was HBO or made for television. Yeah. There was a lot of like Superstation stuff that I would watch when I was younger. And if this was on, this would cripple the entire day. Like, I'm not leaving until this is over.
Nope.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. So much like JJ, this is also a Saturday afternoon film. After Cartoons was over, you would be lucky if Big Trouble in Little China or Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon would come on. It was going to be a good day if you got those. So I adore this film. I think it is so fun. It's one I don't really watch all that much because I don't want to ruin it. I like having the year or two break in between rewatches of it, because you've noticed something new every time you watch it. Also, the biggest thing for me is I love the character of Jack Burton, because I'm going to get what Kurt Russell says about him, because he's got the best like description of him. You know, this is a guy that's played Snake Plissken before. He was, you know, who was he in The Thing? McCreary or something like that? Anyway. He's played the serious action hero. He says, I've never played a hero who has so many faults. Jack is and isn't the hero. He falls on his ass as much as he comes through. He thinks he knows how to handle situations, and then gets into situations he can't handle, but somehow blunders his way through anyhow. I think that is a very good. It's honestly, that's how you should try to live your life. You are going to fall on your ass sometimes. You are going to be in over your head, but if you have the right attitude and you keep going, you can make it through stuff. So that's kind of like, I love how he's so like braggadocious and stuff about stuff. And then in all the big fight scenes, the first thing that happens to him is he gets incapacitated somehow.
Shoots a gun
and a rock falls on his head. You know, he's fighting. They're in the big battle and he takes on a big guy, kills him. And then he can't move anymore because the guy's wearing big armor and he's too heavy. He can't get up anymore. So he's like sitting out like half the action scenes, although he's trying to lead the charge. It's like F Troop or something.
Well, and the confidence too. It's like, what does he say? Like, how do you know we're going to win? I took something.
Yeah. Like, yeah, what? Yeah. 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 Like that scene in the elevator where they're, he gives them the drink and they're like, I feel really good about this. It's just, it's a funny thing all over. And like I said, he's just, you know, you expect him to be like kind of the 80s action hero. Like, you think he's going to be like Arnold or Stallone or, you know, even, oh my God, why am I blanking on his name? Die Hard.
Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis. You think he's literally going to be that guy, and he's nowhere near like them in the film. Like, honestly, when he goes under cover as the businessman, that seems almost like kind of more like the real him, like what this guy would actually be like, the Midwestern kind of goofball. But that's just
a goofball from the Midwest coming to a brothel to cheat on his wife.
Yep.
Well,
that's true.
And then the confidence in everyone else in him, you know, based on, you know, because he was overconfident, but his delivery was so under par. Like, what was the line? If we're not back by dawn, call the president.
Yeah.
Like, you're that good? They're going to be worried about you? So, and then by that point, he had a rock on his head. So,
he's definitely a fake it till you make it kind of guy. He definitely is. Plus, I loved all the action scenes, even though Samantha think they took an hour and a half too long. I think they were all too short, especially as someone that has watched a lot of, you know, badly dubbed kung fu films. This is some top tier stuff for, especially for an American made film. They actually had quite a few celebrities from like the Shaw Brothers kung fu films and stuff like that. All three of those guys that played the Three Storms, those are all big kung fu movie films stars overseas.
Sid's friend Grant, his wife Angel, dad was a stuntman in Hong Kong. I wonder if he knows any of these guys.
I bet he probably
would.
Yes. And so I mentioned earlier that there was some wackier stuff behind the scenes. JJ mentioned one thing. This was the filming of this was rushed to beat out the Golden Child, which has anybody besides me and JJ seen the Golden Child?
No.
Okay. Nope. Adding it to the list now. Okay. And so what if I told you guys this was supposed to be a Western?
What?
Yes.
It does take place out west.
That's correct. Yeah. It does. It was supposed to, so the original screenplay was written as a Western set in 1880s. And
but still had the fantasy aspect to it.
It was basically it basically had all the same plot, they just changed the time setting. So yeah, I mean, you think of it, like, he sounds like John Wayne, and let's just replace his truck with a horse. He comes to town, and then they do all this stuff. Yeah. But apparently that was one of the things
they'll go to the airport.
I don't think you're right. They probably would not have gone to
be the train station.
The train station.
Would not be at SFO.
That's correct. So, during the rewrite, they were like, to get the film studio to bankroll this, they're like, okay, what if it's set in modern times? And they're like, okay, we'll do that. As long as it's not a Western, I guess, because Westerns had not yet had their resurgence. They'd had the 70s. Because they're gross. Okay. And then John Carpenter always wanted to make a martial arts film because John Carpenter makes whatever film John Carpenter feels like making that day. I'm going to make a horror film. I'm going to make another horror film. I'm going to make an action film.
He couldn't drop the horror within because of that the final shot. That's a very horror movie ending.
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so he's like, yeah, I'll totally do it. And then this one also apparently, spoiler, it did not do well financially.
What?
It was considered a failure. It only made back 11 of its projected $25 million budget. And this is the one that John Carpenter, after he made this, he went back to independent filmmaking. He's like, I'm tired of the studio execs meddling in my films. So I'm going to go make movies I want to make. And now he just plays video games. So that's cool. All right. So JJ mentioned it at the top. I figured somebody was going to ask. The three storms, thunder, rain, and lightning, it is kind of true. One of them is the source that, Tobias and Boone took, when making Mortal Kombat 1 to make Raiden. So that is a true thing.
I didn't understand any of that.
Okay. Do you know what Mortal Kombat?
Except Mortal Kombat and, Raiden perhaps?
Yes. Yes. That's his...
Thunder?
Yes.
You know, whatever. That's how you pronounce
things. Yep, but that's how we pronounced it in the game. It was pronounced Raiden. I know that Mortal Kombat. Oh, and Lo Pan was the inspiration somewhat for Shang Tsung.
And, makes sense.
Yep. And another interesting thing, the guy that plays Shang Tsung in the Mortal Kombat movie, the original one, was an extra in this film. So you have like 3 degrees of Mortal Kombat instead of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
We also had what's his name? I looked it up earlier today. Ao Leung, Chinese bad guy that's in every movie.
Every movie in the '80s, he's in Die Hard.
He's
in this. He's in a bunch of action movies. He's also in a bunch of kung fu movies. Yes, he's the bald Asian guy that has the Fu Manchu mustache. You'll know him when you see him.
I'm like, looking him up.
Yeah, that guy. He's been kicked in the face a lot.
He certainly has.
He looks like Betty from Kung Pao and some of these
other Betty. So, Samantha, I wanted to touch on one thing you mentioned. You thought that this would be like very like racially insensitive and stuff like that.
I was expecting that just because of when it was made.
Yes, so this is actually one of the first films that there had been a movie made maybe a year or two before that called, I'm sorry, I'm trying to look it up. But basically, it came out and it got a lot of backlash because of the way it portrayed Asian folks. So John Carpenter was actually like, no, we're totally going to go talk to the Asian community and stuff like that and run this by them before they made any of the decisions in this movie.
I saw a lot of like consulting and producer credits that were like Chinese names, so I was like, oh, yep. Neat. But I don't know a lot about Chinese mythology or anything, so I'm just like, I was just surprised that it seemed like not super caricature.
Yes.
Josh, I'm going to go with Michael Keaton's Gung Ho is probably the movie that you're referencing.
I think you're right. I think you might be right. So some other interesting little things. This was originally offered to be directed by, let's see here, Richter. What's this guy's first name? The guy that did Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension, which is the ultimate...
Skid loves that movie.
It's the ultimate film title to use in a game of Hangman. Think about it.
I don't even know how to spell it.
Well, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words, one number. It's great to use. Yep. That's a good movie, too. Maybe add it to the list. Let's see here. What else? Some of the other actors considered for Jack Burton before Carpenter's like, hey, Kurt, wake up. I need you to make another movie with me. And he's like, all right. Were Clint Eastwood and Jack Nicholson.
Yikes.
Jack Nicholson would have been really weird.
It just would have been about a movie of him talking. Mm-hmm. Driving in his truck, I think he would
super hostile, and you're not sure if it's intentional or just how he is.
Yeah. Oh no! I found that movie. It was You're the Dragon, is what.
Oh.
Apparently, it starred Mickey Rourke.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'll put that one in my notes.
Yeah. So, we don't seem to have a lot to say about this one. I'm honestly surprised.
It was cool. I really liked the sets.
Okay, so you really dug the sets. The plot, not so much. What you could understand.
The plot was fine. Like, I was like, there was just... It's like, okay, all this is happening over here. They said China is everywhere. China came here. I was really distracted by the fact that it was like storming in San Francisco, but then I'm assuming it's because of the magic guys. I thought it was New York at first because of the weather. I was just, I don't know. Like, They were getting trying to get his fiance back. I liked that guy's really terrible glasses or goggles he was wearing. They were just like stark white with little slits. were they just at the airport to grab whoever?
Do you mean were the Lords of Death at the airport to grab whomever?
Yeah. Also, was her name last name Law, like as a joke?
I want to say no. I don't think so.
Just a coincidence. I'm a lawyer, and my last name's Law.
Yep.
And also, I really liked that Tara had just got taken out of the airport by her. Showed up one more time, like, what's going on? Like, go back to sleep. That was her whole thing.
Well, I mean, also, Josh, it's safe to say the movie just falls off its rails in the third act. I mean, you just... like, you can buy a little bit of it, you know, like, all right, this is kind of... All right. I'll bite, but by the time they bring in the magic, it's like, hey, we took this stuff, and I forgot what it was that they took, but... and just flying around like, this is crazy. This is not even what we were led up to this, you know... And yeah, they showed like sorcery in the beginning the guys flying and all that. But how they delivered that last bit to Samantha's point, you're like, okay, just someone get kicked in the face. Like in the old Kung Fu movies, because you can tell the budget ran out back in the old ones. Guy gets kicked in it, and they just freeze frame credits. You're like, yes, it's over. This one, like, oh, okay, they're still fighting. There's a lot going on.
They are still fighting. That is
Honestly, I went upstairs and I scooped the kitty litter and... came and then cleaned the toilet and then came back downstairs and they were still fighting. I was like, wow, I forgot to pause it. I didn't even miss anything. And then they were shooting that beholder, his sentinel or whatever.
Yep.
Jack tried to shoot it and just was like, I'm out of here. You're going to be rude.
So you mentioned the liking the sets and the practical effects. I don't think this has as good of practical effects as The Thing is, but there are some just wacky practical effects of this. Like Thunder, for example, when his boss dies, he apparently gets so pissed he just blows up. You know?
I like Pinglo. Just like they just like had a still of him and they just like moved it through the room.
Yeah.
That one. I like the idea
of him onto lightning. The guy getting run over.
Yeah.
Who just drives through.
But, okay, so this guy can get bigger, but he also had lightning. And it seems like that, as a last minute defense, why can't he just explode, like turn into a big lightning bolt? You know, he just,
He just got super pissed.
His anger was his Achilles heel.
Yep.
Like the weasels in Roger Rabbit who died laughing themselves to death. Yep. He angered himself to death.
I think that's a good analogy. It really is. Oh, wait. I just saw this. Kim Cattrall was in Police Academy?
She's yeah, Police Academy 1.
She's in Mannequin. You guys seen Mannequin?
Yes, I have seen Mannequin.
Yeah, it was on HBO Max when they first released Max or whatever it's called now. But yeah, I was like, oh, this movie is good. That was one of my first movies I remember seeing in theaters.
I remember liking it as a kid. I watched it as an adult, and I was like, this.
It's bad. It's very bad.
I didn't know she was a goddess. And I just like think of the CCTV. They just like, we saw you having sex with the mannequin. So we're going to fire you, and you can have the mannequin.
I mean, that's the least they can do.
Yeah. So, we don't want it anymore.
So, who's seen Mannequin 2? Electric Boogaloo.
That has. No, I haven't seen it. I remember the trailer for it, but I don't. No,
I don't. I think I can't remember who's in it. I don't think it's. It's a sequel, but I don't know if it's like. Maybe like set in the same universe type sequel. It's not the characters from the first film.
There's a sequel to Mannequin.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is 100% a sequel to Mannequin.
Oh, Mannequin 2, the movie.
Yeah, she says Dachshund. Is she German or something in that one? I remember the trailer.
She's a peasant girl.
From?
She was enchanted and turned into a mannequin. Okay. Yeah, she is German.
Okay. Yeah.
Her name's Jessie, though. So.
Yeah, it's German.
I saw that Police Academy, and because I have such a unique brain, I immediately go to a Simpsons joke where Homer is yelling at Bart for stealing something. And he goes, "Why do you think I took you to all those Police Academy movies? For fun? I didn't hear anyone laughing. Did you?"
Oh, Police Academy.
Oh, God. Now, that was a series that had far too many sequels. Far too many. Like, what? They went to Miami, which is why I think... God, what was that show on Comedy Central?
Reno
911 went to Miami. It was because Police Academy went to Miami.
Reno 911 is great.
They went to Soviet Russia, just like Rocky IV. Yep. I think that was the fourth one, too.
Yeah. So, with sequels, this movie... clearly had an idea for a sequel. And they actually talked about making a sequel for this movie, right?
I don't know if they did. They talked about remaking it with The Rock a couple of
years
ago.
Yes, that's where I was getting at, The Rock. And they were like, well, is it a spiritual successor? See, Jack Burton's son? Is he... Yeah, what were they trying to do with that? I don't know.
That was one of those things. It was unclear. Like, they were going to remake it, and John Carpenter was like, they're like, do you want to direct it? And he's like, hell no. I will not. He's like, I will not redirect this. He's like, I don't like remake. Well, it's funny for him to say I don't like remakes when the thing is a remake. But he's like, no, you don't remake this film. He's like, all right, what if it's a sequel? And he's like, maybe I'll help you guys write it or something. He's like, I'm not going to direct it. But apparently it just died. And I'm kind of glad. I like the way this one ends. I don't think it deserves a sequel.
I don't think it needs one.
I don't think it needs one. I think it's a completely wrapped up tale and it's great. I don't want more. I don't want a prequel. I just think it ends in the perfect place, you know?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it does. Totally. I would like to know more about Lopan though. Like, cause he was around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like
yeah.
1700 Lopan. Maybe no.
I just think it works just in that perfect time. Like, just let him be the myth, the scary thing, and Samantha's
Uh-oh,
gone.
We lost Samantha.
Lopan got her. Oh God!
Actually, here.
Wait, does Samantha have green eyes?
Oh no! Oh no!
Did the Beast Man like crawl up from her? Like, do we miss him crawling up the stairs in the background?
I've been waiting for 42 years for this.
Yeah. Wow.
So, speaking of spiritual successors, did you guys see the Naked Gun?
I saw the trailer. Yeah.
I have not seen it.
That's going to be interesting for sure.
I think it was a good pick to pick... Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if we're going to get all the way to 33 and a third with them, but, you know, it's interesting.
Well, I like that they showed that everyone plays the son of someone, and they showed...
Oh!
And, yeah, they showed OJ's plaque, and then his son, he's like, no.
I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
So
it's pretty short. Yeah,
I was gonna say apparently there were some video games based on this. On
what?
Yeah. Apparently for the ZX Spectrum, Commodore 64, and Amstrad CPC. Yeah.
Yeah. All six people played it.
Yeah. I mean, that's all it says about them. It's like critical reception was mixed. That's a good way to say it. Yeah, apparently there was a... What? there was an Upper Deck card game for, it's called Legendary, Big Trouble in Little China. It's a two to, what the heck?
Oh man, I'm looking it up right now. You can buy it on Amazon for $45. Out of three reviews, 5 out of 5.
Are you talking about the card game or are you talking about the video? Oh, okay.
The card game, yeah.
I might have to pick that up. Well,
Jack's great. All of his one-liners are great.
Yes.
And I would say if he had a way to, because, you know, he's just talking to anyone on the Pork Chop Express. I think it's great, but if there's a way to get all of his quotes and just whatever conversation, like, I would just sit there and listen to everything he said, you know?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, gosh, what? Let me see. I think I have some of it written down. Well, like how he started it. Like I told my last wife.
Yeah.
Like, what? You know, I says, honey, I never drive faster than I can see. Besides that, it's all in the reflexes. That's, you know, right. Ah, he's so good. And I love, and I think that's why I probably gravitated to that more than Golden Child. But I think most people would argue that's a superior film compared to the two. It's a hot take. Listen, I've argued, and I haven't seen The Golden Child probably in 10 years, so I need to go back and revisit that one. But almost to Samantha's point, like, this one did feel a little long towards the end, but I don't remember how The Golden Child felt. I think there was more better CGI, better, like, whatever it was called back then.
I was going to say, the only thing I remember about Golden Child is that Eddie Murphy's in it, and they have this weird thing where they're trying to make the Golden Child eat porridge with blood in it. That's all I remember about that film.
Oh, not remember when he was asking for the knife on the totem pole that he had to, it moved, so he tried to treat it like a turntable. Oh, it's so bonkers. Yeah, so I really want to revisit that. So as of now, I'm going to say that this movie is superior, but I don't remember The Golden Child enough.
Maybe we'll do just like a special little like mini episode where we're like, all right, we watched The Golden Child and we're here to answer the question, which one is better? I think it is funny that this happened a lot in the 80s, that you had two movies with like kind of the same plots would come out in the same year. Like you would have this and Golden Child. I was thinking, like, did RoboCop and... Oh, wait, she's back. Lopan has released you. It's great. We thought we thought the Beast Man or Lopan had got you.
I have brown eyes.
Okay. So it wasn't Lopan then. It was the Beast Man. Cool. We know that now. Thank you for confirming.
Yep.
Okay. Welcome back.
Thanks.
We were just mentioning that we might do a mini episode of determining which one is better, this or The Golden Child.
Just because they
came out at the same time, and some people think they have a similar plot, and I'm like, maybe.
I think we've talked about this before, right? Where movies always, like, similar movies always end up coming out in the same year.
I think we have.
Like, there'll be the year of the magic movies, and then there'll be the year of the ninja movies.
Western movies, things like
that. Or zombie movies.
Yeah, I mean, the 80s were nothing but ninja movies, at least what I watched.
Ninja movies, ninja TV shows, ninja breakfast cereals. It was a lot of ninjas.
Well,
I went to ninja school.
Yep.
Golden Child has a 22% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Compared to?
73%.
Okay. Now,
I was going to say,
wait a minute, though. By Funsphere standards, then, Golden Child should be the better movie.
That's true.
Okay, one thing I was thinking about when I was watching it, the Beast's eyes are very narrow, right?
Yes.
But in the picture, when he was following, it was like a normal... Like, both of his eyes were there, and then when they opened up, it's like this weird little, there's no way his eyes would have fit in the picture. That was the only thing, the only other note I had, but I know that was just random. I don't know why I said that right there, that particular spot. But yeah, his eyes.
Also think there's something interesting about this movie in the big bad. Lopan is like, everyone's like super scared of him. And like, they make him out like to be this big bad. And when he gets resurrected, he literally gets killed like in 5 minutes. And that's it. He doesn't do anything that's like super dangerous. They do have the little, like, I wanted, like, when I was a little kid, I thought it was like a video game that they played against each other with a little magic sword fight between Lopan and, Egg.
Egg, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, is that all he does in the film besides actually like show up as an old man and then be a ghost sometimes? That's it.
Well, it's funny that you mention it that way, because then when you watch the last act of Scott Pilgrim, it feels the same way, you know? And so it is almost like a video game in that. But yeah, Egg drove a 5-speed manual school bus.
Yep.
Oh, man. Gosh, it's so good. It's so good. Listen, I'm just going to say it's better than The Golden Child. Okay. I'm saying it right now.
Okay.
Rotten Tomatoes agrees with me.
I think this is the first time we've ever agreed with Rotten Tomatoes on a verdict for films. I mean, we usually scrape the bottom of the barrel for our films that we review and watch.
We're working our way up.
Maybe we'll get to something like mid-tier eventually, you know.
Mm.
But I've always said I always prefer a movie to be like a 2 or a 10, and that a 5 is a waste of time.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. Well, I don't think we have anything left to say about this film. So I guess we'll just say goodbye here, folks. And if you're ever driving on a dark, stormy night, I'm trying to remember, what does he say at the end of the film?
Pork.
Yeah. You know what? Pork. It works. Goodbye, folks.
Goodbye.
Excellent.